हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhagavad Sandarbha Adhyayana 3, Adhikarana 3, page 56. The Lord's actions in relation to creation of the universe are unmotivated. Then what can one say about his actions in Vaikuntha? Right. So unmotivated here, we're talking about, it's always in the material context. Right. Because on the spiritual platform, then everything's being done in a transcendental way. It means transcendental means it's above the material concept. The modes of nature. The material is where the problem is. The spiritual doesn't have problems. Right? Everything that's there is perfect. So even if you have obstacles in the manifestation of devotional service, they're still perfect, because perfect means it's always in context of Krishna. Right? Because Krishna is who he is. Everything's expanded from him. Therefore, anything in so he actually is the reality. So when you see everything in context of Krishna, everything is in its natural position. Right? It's when things are seen not connected to Krishna, that's where the problem starts. So mundane consciousness means not seeing it connected to Krishna. It doesn't mean it's not following the Vedic rules, it's not according to what the activities they do in the spiritual world. It just means you're doing those activities for your own benefit, in other words, for motive, rather than for Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the difference between spiritual and material. It's that easy. Right? Because there's always thing, oh, how could this come, how could it come up? How can there be envy in that in the spiritual world? How could we fall? You know, all these different things like that. But that is a material perspective. Right? Because in the spiritual world, the difference is not if there's good or bad qualities. Because as we were discussing yesterday, that Krishna has no good or bad qualities. They're just auspicious. They're just good. They're just perfect. Because we judge this is good, that's bad. Right? Like, let's say I say paratha. Someone will say good. Someone will say bad. You understand? So that's a material concept. Krishna, he is himself, so he is who he is. And so therefore, he's perfect, everything's perfect. So in the spiritual world, everything's in connection with Krishna. So when we see all the knowledge, the activities, the situations, the results, not connected to Krishna, that's mundane consciousness. It's that simple. And so, therefore, being not Krishna conscious means not being conscious of Krishna. It's that simple. That's why the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that's all we're trying to change is the consciousness. Right? So, therefore, all the secondary activities, we're just bringing them in line with those who are always conscious of Krishna, what they do. Right? And then if you don't have that best quality available, you use the next best. But you know what it's for. It's just like, how do I choose? Let's say I want to cook something. And let's say I'm thinking to, you know, do some kind of a stir fry or shallow fry kind of thing. What pot do I use? Right? I'll use a wok. If I don't have that, I can use a frying pan. If you don't, you have that, okay, you can use the rice pot. You know, if you know how to cook, you can cook with anything. I give you an old, you know, tomato sauce tin. You can cook with that. But that will never be your first option. Right? You know, the three-star French chef's not going to go into the kitchen and ask, where's the old, you know, tomato sauce tin? You know, he's got some new idea. He wants to, you know, to do some really fancy cooking. Yes? Yes. You know, it's like... Somebody says it's not going to happen. He's going to pick the perfect pan first. Now, like we said, if you don't have the wok, then you use the frying pan. If you don't have the frying pan, then you use a pot that's not too deep. You know, it's kind of like a saucepan. If you don't have that, yes, you'll use the soup pot. You understand? That's what yukta vairagya means. You start off, what's the best quality? Means, in other words, since it's about Krishna, then what are the activities that those who have love for Krishna, what do they do? Because we have to remember, we have no idea what that means. We don't know what love for Krishna means, so we wouldn't know what to do for Krishna. So how do we learn? From the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas say, behave like this, do like this, act in this way. Therefore, then, we're going to follow that. That's our first choice. If you don't have that, then you go down. But now, how do you choose? It's because you know what it's for. Right? So this idea, yukta vairagya, meaning that I take whatever I'm attached to, and then I connect it to Krishna. Yes, it is there, but that's the lowest understanding. Right? Why is it the lowest? Because it's mixed devotional service, not pure devotional service. Because I'm attached to that tomato sauce tin. And so I'm going to try to use it for everyone thing and say, see, it can be used. Of course it can be used. You know? You can do your cross-country tour on a unicycle. You can do it. But it's not your first choice. You know what I'm saying? So when the first choice is our first choice, that's not your high-quality yukta vairagya. Right? High quality of yukta vairagya is the first choice is what is most favorable for Krishna. But within the context of what I have and what I can do. So it always starts with Krishna, and then we see what's available and what we can do with what's available. That's Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's conscious of ourself, and we've added some Krishna, which is also perfect. But then there's more perfect, and there's most perfect. So sarva dharmam parityaja, that's most perfect. So that makes sense. So that's the whole idea, is that when we say unmotivated, it means it doesn't have an idea other than Krishna. Right? Because that's material consciousness. So Krishna will never not be conscious of himself, since he is consciousness. And so all the living entities are all in context of him. And so he's going to see everything in the perfect balance. Right? But like for us, then we'll have a tendency as we start with ourselves without Krishna, we cannot see anything in balance. Literally. Right? Because Krishna is the source of everything. Being the source of everything, then that means all things are him. And if all things are him, he knows how it balances. But we only know what our conditioning is. So therefore, anything different from our conditioning is out of our purview. We can't find a balance. Does that make sense? So it's just like this. Just as an example. From Krishna comes the liberal aspects and the conservative aspects. They both come from him, so he can perfectly balance it. But for us, we're conservative or we're liberal. We can't balance it. Liberals don't like conservatives. Conservatives don't like liberals. Does that make sense? So we can't have balance because of the motive. It's about us. But Krishna's unmotivated. Right? So, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Because we have to see that action is the essential element. You have the existence of Krishna and the creation and all the living entities. You know, that's a fact. You have the element of ananda, or the happiness that you'll get from any situation or anything. That's there, right? But they're both static.
Yes.
Right? What makes it dynamic? Right? Activity.
Yes.
Right? As soon as there's activity, or abideya,
yes,
that's when it's dynamic. So then all the elements, they become engaged, and from that then they produce the results that you can experience. You understand? The thing is there, you're experiencing it. It's not that something's going on, you're experiencing it. Right? So it's the movement of the activity that's generating the experience. And the elements themselves being just existing, it's also static. Still, you engage them, then something's going on. Then there's transformation. Right?
What about time?
Well, that's the whole point. Time activity means time. So in the spiritual world, since everything's happening in the present, time is acting differently there. Because, you know what I'm saying? Here, it's moving along, and you do something or don't, it moves. There, it's only moving with the activity. It's one of Krishna's energies to support the pastime. So there's the feeling of time, because feeling of time gives rise to experience. Right? And so therefore, and also according to time, I will engage certain elements. You know, it's just like, let's say it's morning, I will engage one set of elements. If it's afternoon, another, evening, another. Does that make sense? Or if you're in Nanda Bhavan, you'll engage one set of things. If you're out in the forest of Vrindavan, you'll engage a different set. Does that make sense? So the time and the space are simply supportive of rasa. While here, rasa or no rasa, time and space just trudge on. You know, that's why we're forced. The modes of nature, the time and space, it's just you're limited. Does that make sense? Yes, no? Okay. So the whole point is that the unmotivated means that you have an identity, you're doing something, and you're getting a result for a particular purpose. Right? So unmotivated means it's nothing mundane. It's spiritual. Right? O Lord Hrishikesha, master of the senses, please let us offer our obeisances unto you, whose pastimes are beyond matter, whose pastimes are proclaimed everywhere, unto you who are Atmarama, but not Atmarama. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:16:47. Right, so, being Atmarama means he's self-satisfied. Being not Atmarama means he likes to be interactive with the devotees based on prema. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. The attraction of Sukadeva and others for the Lord's pastimes is therefore commendable, since the Lord's actions are without material motive. Okay. Right, so Sukadeva Goswami, being a liberated soul, being attracted to the Lord's pastimes, you know, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, that means if he's liberated, then, and he's attracted, then it must mean they're on the liberated platform. They're transcendental. Because otherwise, if they're material, then it would be a fault for him to be attracted. Right? Because he's gone through all this trouble of using his intelligence and becoming detached from the material energy. And, you know, to then come under the control of the Lord's pastimes, you know, if they're mundane, then it's a deviation. You know, it's a fall down. So the point is that it's not a fall down, because the Lord's transcendental, his activities are transcendental, and being attracted to that, then even liberated souls are attracted by that. Does that make sense? The nature of the Lord's birth is understood in the following verse from the chapter on the mystery of the Lord's birth. Thus, rejecting the two versions of the universal form, the wise glorify the highest subject of the Vedas, the birth and birth activities of the Supreme Lord, who resides in the hearts of all beings. Unlike the universal form, who has no material birth, no material activities, unlike the Jiva. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:3:35. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Both the Lord and the living entities are essentially all spiritual. Therefore, both of them are eternal, and neither of them has birth and death. The difference is that the so-called births and disappearances of the Lord are unlike those of the living beings. The living beings who take birth and then again accept death are bound by the laws of material nature. But the so-called appearance and disappearance of the Lord are not actions of material nature, but are demonstrations of the internal potency of the Lord. They are described by the great sages for the purpose of self-realization. Right? Because self-realization means our birth in that, you're describing what is to be avoided, what is to be given up. But the Lord's birth and activities, these are then the positive, the attraction to the actual being situated on the transcendental platform. Does that make sense? The one, hearing about our birth, death, old age, and disease, and how it's not a good thing, that is to inspire us to give up the mundane consciousness. And hearing about the Lord's birth and activities and all this is to attract us to the transcendental platform. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord that his so-called birth in the material world and his activities are all transcendental. And simply by meditation on such activities, one can attain realization of Brahman and thus become liberated from material bondage. In the Shrutis, it is said that the birthless appears to take birth. The Supreme has nothing to do, but because he is omnipotent, everything is performed by him naturally, as if done automatically. As a matter of fact, the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his different activities are all confidential, even to the Vedic literatures. Yet they are displayed by the Lord to bestow mercy upon the conditioned souls. Right? So the confidential aspect is the Vedas will mention about it, but it doesn't get into the finer detail of how the Lord interacting with his devotees is coming. It'll mention things. In other words, the Sambandhik Yan of them are given. But the actual aspect of the Abhideya Prayojana aspects aren't brought out. That's what's unique about Srimad Bhagavatam. So when it says Vedic literatures, it means what's not Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Because having written all the Vedic literatures, having written the conclusion to the Vedic literatures as the Mahabharata, then Vyasadeva wasn't satisfied. Why? Because now he's given the perfect, what is the perfect knowledge of the living entity, the material world, and the Lord? What is the perfect identities? What's the perfect position and activities of everyone? How they can follow the Vedic culture perfectly? You know, all the examples down to fine detail. All that's been given. So the secondary has been given, all in relationship to the Lord, very, very nicely. Right? So it's in connection to the Lord. So in one sense we can say it's perfect, because on one it is. That's the whole point. The Vedic literatures, it's all about the Lord, so it's perfect. But it's from the inductive angle. Right? It's knowledge, it's coming down, it's accepted, but the perspective is simply inductive. It's simply our perspective of how the Lord fits into all this. You know, material nature, the Lord, this and that, with us is the center. But because the Lord's included, it becomes perfect. Right? But the Bhagavatam then reverses it to its natural position, where it's about the Lord and us being servant of the Lord. Now it's about the situation we're in. How does that serve the Lord? You understand? You know, instead of starting with us, okay, I'm here, and then, you know, I'm who I am, God's who He is, and then we're supposed to respect the Lord, so therefore, you know, I'm having a job to maintain all this, you know, because that's in connection with me and the family. And so then we're doing all these things, so now I'm connecting that to the Lord. And so that's the natural progression. But we see at some point, having explained this whole progression in detail in the Bhagavad Gita, then, and having given the conclusion on it, right, in the 18th chapter, then at the end of the 18th chapter says, now you have to reverse it. It's about Krishna and the relationship with Krishna as servant. Then you look at your situation. Rather than I have my situation and I add Krishna to that. That's where I start. But that's not where I end. You end where it's about Krishna and the relationship and then the situation. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, the Vedic literatures don't show that reversal. That's only shown in Srimad Bhagavatam. Gita's explained it. They may mention it, but you don't see its revelation until Bhagavatam. That's then showing how, in 10th canto, how the Brajbasis, then how they did this. Right? And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, then taking on that, because it's based on Bhagavatam, then shows then how the devotees, you know, within the material sphere, within the Sankirtan mission, how they connect everything to Krishna. Yes?
It seems that Krishna's contrary qualities increase the rasa part, but then complicates the tattva part.
But it only complicates the tattva part because of our non-absorption in the rasa part.
Yes.
Yes, means if it's about pleasing Krishna and all that, then there's no problem. But if it's about, it's more about us, then it complicates things. See, because is Krishna the supreme controller or not?
Yes.
Does everything go the way he wants it or not?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if we're trying to be Krishna, then what's a major problem here? Nothing goes the way we want because we're not in control of everything. Right?
Yes.
So, therefore, the attachment to that logical consistency is because then there's more of a sense that we're in control. And so if we're more in control, it establishes more that we're the enjoyer. Because you can't enjoy something you can't control. Right? That's because we're trying to be the controller and enjoyer. But if it's about the relationship with Krishna, you don't need control of it. The experience of things in relation to Krishna aren't dependent upon your being in control. See, if my perspective is I'm the controller and enjoyer, I will not call something happiness until I can control it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. So, therefore, on the transcendental platform, then means, well, a spiritual platform, I don't need to control the material energy and enjoy the material energy. So, I go beyond that. So, that gives you the spiritual pleasure, right? That Atmarama aspect. But beyond that's the transcendental. So that's the rasa with Krishna and the devotees. So if we're absorbed in that context, then it doesn't matter if there's an obstacle or not. It's in relationship to Krishna. It only gives spiritual ecstasy. Right? So there's no problem there. But here we like to keep it simple because that gives more of a sense of control and enjoyment, therefore our inspiration that we can be happy, right? Because happy means it worked the way I wanted it to. Not that you're necessarily getting an experience from the item itself, because dead matter can't give you any experience, right? It's just the thought that I got this and that will make me happy. Getting it, that's where the happiness is. Does that make sense? Because one item, as we mentioned, for one person, getting that's happiness. For another person, that's distress. So it's not the item. It's our perspective of it. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that. And also, when it comes to rasa, we don't necessarily expect logic to work. In fact, when Rupa Goswami logically shows how all the rasas work and the Vyavichari bhavas and how one turns into the next, how one contains these items and it can come up with all those varieties, then we become, soma, it's so complicated. But it's actually just the science. Now if we take it to the tattva, we expect the tattva to be like that. And if it's not, it has these contradictory elements, then we get upset. So we see in rasa, if it's logical, we say, oh, this is too technical, you know. And if in the other it's not technical, then we'll say there's something wrong with it, because we're trying to apply logic to tattva, and the point of the tattva is it's addressing our logical needs, so it's not a problem. But you can actually only understand the tattva when one has that faith in Krishna. Does that make sense? And to that degree of faith, then one understands. So it's not a matter of intellect. It has zero to do with how much brains you have. So you could have, you know, Sheldon Cooper, and he wouldn't understand one iota of devotional service. Right? Even though he's so smart. But he wouldn't understand anything. It has nothing to do with that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is it's dependent upon faith, not upon study, upon practices, anything like that. It's on faith. So now we have faith, it moves forward, our practices go nicely and everything like that. But if we don't have faith, our practices do not produce devotional service. You know, we could, you know, for us, we may not have such experiences because it's only because of having some faith that we're engaged in the activities. But let's take a smarter Brahmin. He has zero faith in devotional service, but he's super meticulous about sadhana. I can't say about today, but if you go back some years, then the degree in which they followed the sadhana, a smarta, would probably be way better than our average devotee. Just on a daily basis, they do the same thing day in, day out. That's all it is. That's their lifestyle. They only associate with people that have that lifestyle. There is no distraction. There is nothing going wrong.
It's a dream.
You know? Because they won't associate with anybody who doesn't follow like that. Well, for us, every devotee is following the sadhana to a different degree or arrangement than everybody else. So it's like everybody's a distraction, you know, including ourselves. Because we're not used to being steady, so even if we have the perfect situation, you know, we can't handle that. Right? Does that make sense? So we may not be used to the concept, but the point is that it's there. It's perfectly regulated. But there's no, without the devotion, they can't understand it. They can only understand the mechanics that will give a particular fruit of result, or a particular result of liberation. Right? Either karma or jnana, you can apply the smarta element. Right? Because smarta means the rules. So the knowledge, the rules are very well intact. So faith is based on the simple definition of the faith is that you have faith that by doing devotional service, all other religious processes and activities are accomplished. Right? So that's the Rupa Goswami, how he's defining it, Nupadeshamrita. So that is faith. This idea, oh, it's just sentiment. No, it's not. It's knowledge that this has all that to it. So therefore it's based on this idea of tattva. Then it comes to the point of taste. Then it doesn't matter that that's there anymore. It's not because of that. Right? Because by having that faith, by being fixed in that, the first thing it'll bring you to nishta, because it'll break beyond anartha nivritti. Your bhajana will become steady. Right? Because what causes our bhajan to not be steady? We have faith in things other than pure devotional service. We're thinking that, let's say, management will make the society great again. Or community will make the society, you know, wonderful. Or if everybody just was nice and interacted nicely and had all, you know, was moralistic and had good qualities, now the society will go nicely. Or social issues of equality. Or, you know, some other things like that, or economic considerations, why he's getting more, why he's getting less, you know, all these kinds of things like this. Does that make sense? Or, you know, as I can be myself and I express myself and like this, and then it'll be perfect. Right? So that's the whole point, is any of these kind of mundane concepts and thinking that that's what makes devotional service, that means the faith has not gone to that point to remove it. Because the devotional service itself already includes everything that you're looking for, since it's what's being reflected. You know, if we're saying the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, in the spiritual world they're only doing bhakti. So the activities, the knowledge and that they have, that's reflected here. That means all the activities and knowledge here are only exclusively to be used in service of bhakti. But it's not. That's why it's mundane. So this idea that it's two different things, that's like, you have to be a fool to think the person there and the reflection in the mirror are two different things. They're differently situated, they give different effects, but it's a reflection of one thing. So the material world is the place, and then there's this other place, the spiritual world. And here's the reality, and from there it's not known. That's purely mundane. It has nothing to do with spiritual consciousness. So then the difficulty comes up is that we're unable to perceive of how bhakti it's already embodies everything. Everything else is a derivative of bhakti. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like if I have a mountain of corn, right? That's real. Right? And so then on that, I can trade with that. But now I can trade on derivatives and other things on that corn until I'm not dealing with anything that's real. Right? Does that make sense? And people are still trading and making money.
Their money isn't real.
Yes, but it doesn't matter because you're buying things from other people that don't care. Right? That's why as soon as the people get worried that there's something wrong with the market, it just drops. Because if it was real, why would it drop? If I'm sitting there and I have, 100 kilos of gold sitting, under my bed, what does it matter what the market is? I have 100 kilos of gold. But the market drops because it's not real. The original thing is real. You can't do a derivative off of nothing. You know what I'm saying? If I want to trade in shares of, George Clooney, I can do that. And someone else likes George Clooney, so they'll buy, and it's happening. But it has to be a person. I can't say, well, I have nothing here, and who wants to trade in nothingness? Right? So that's why you don't see any Buddhists in the market. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that devotional service is reality, and then based off of that, material world is derivatives. And so then we trade in that, and we think it's a value, and think it's two different things. But only a fool would think that. It's based on the reality of the spiritual world. Right? That's reality. This is illusion. Right? But its connection to the Lord, that's what makes it real. Right? Because it is the Lord. Right? So it's our not understanding this that makes it illusion, that makes it unreal. Otherwise, it's real because it is the Lord's energy. So, yes.
So, at what point in our practice we stop practice reflective bhakti and actually practice Shuddha bhakti?
Basically, you can say it's when the faith has come to the point where you're convinced that only bhakti is necessary. That's the point. That's the point where it switches. But just because it switched doesn't mean that we're on the platform of prema. Right? But it means that now it's dynamic.
Is it going to be bhav?
That would be the natural place where it would switch. But it can start, that switch naturally is starting, that's why it's working, from nishta. It means you have that faith. That will situate you in nishta. And because of that regular performance of devotional service, that will bring you taste. Because if I'm doing something and not regular, how do you get a taste? But if I'm doing it regular, I get a taste. And then from that taste, since Krishna, that taste of Krishna consciousness is so nice, I get attached. Right? And that attachment means I don't care about anything else. Right? It's just like, let's say, a young boy, a young girl gets attached. Do they care about anything else? No. That's all this. So that's a sakti. All these other things don't matter. The material world just doesn't matter because you're attached to Krishna. It's not on the platform of prema. So a lot of times the symptoms that we talk about, in the advanced devotee, they're not caring about the material world. You think they're insane and they're not interested in maintaining the body, all these different things. Those are all asakti. Because they're so absorbed. That then brings them to ecstasy. Because that, they're just attached. They're so absorbed in Krishna. But then there's the platform of ecstasy. Right? Where you see all the various, representations of what's mentioned in the rasa, the sattvika bhavas and all these different things, right? So that's because now you're more absorbed in Krishna. Then that will then to go further, because that's generic, then it has to have a specific rati, it has to have a specific focus. Therefore, the expression of that absorption in Krishna then is in a particular rasa, particular relationship. Right? Then now being in that relationship, then it goes through the same process where it goes to the point of being, it's like the asakti within bhava, right? Means that being completely attached to Krishna, then that's called purvarag, that complete attachment, right? Then having come to that platform, now that can bring you to the point where it's just about Krishna exclusively, not anything else. Now you can be absorbed in actually interaction with Krishna. That's when you actually now contact Krishna directly. So directly with your eyes, your senses, your ear, and all these things. So then you see Krishna, you hear Krishna, you smell Krishna like this. Does that make sense? That position, you can only do within the spiritual body. Does that make sense? Because the material body can't handle all the senses being fully utilized at once on one object. Right, it doesn't have the strength. It's made out of inferior material. It's like made in Taiwan or something. So it's just not up to the standard. Like that. Yeah, it struck me as that depending upon where your political leanings are, it might be made in China would be worth better. Or if you want to, please everybody, then made in Vietnam or something. Unless you're French, of course, and hey, wait, that's our place. You guys messed it up, not us. We were perfectly running it. So you can't win. So, maybe made in Papua New Guinea? So, the absorption then in Krishna at that point, then now that it's fully absorbed in Krishna, but still that faith has to move forward more, because the difference between each of these positions is the faith increases. Because if it's bhakti is all, then the depth of that bhakti, and that bhakti is about Krishna, and about pleasing Krishna, and about absorption in Krishna, that's what's going. So the progression from Shraddha to Prema is a progression of faith. Faith with, now in the association of devotees, faith in the association of devotees with the practice, faith in the association of devotees being steady, faith in the association of devotees being steady and having a taste. You understand? So it's faith is progressing. And so then it's a matter of that all there is Krishna. Then that brings you from... So now that you have that association of Krishna, the Swarup now becomes Siddhi, becomes perfect. Because now you can act within that rati you have for Krishna. That becomes perfect. That's Swarup Siddhi. Before that you have Swarup, but it's only Siddhi at that point. In Apandas, when you come to that fourth stage, above sadhana, where you're actually absorbed and interacting with Krishna in his pastimes. Right? That'll bring you then to the fifth stage of Vastu Siddhi or Sampati Das, where now you come to the platform of prema. So there is nothing else before. So all the sadhana, your sadhana bhakti, your bhav sadhana, all that's gone. Now you're on prema. So the material body that you had, that's gone. So all there is that position. Does that make sense? So that's then naturally how it will progress up through. But it's all a matter of faith. Like Prabhupada says, prema is mature faith. Because it's just Krishna, and just Krishna in this particular way. There is nothing else. Right? So that's why when someone says, well, you know, are we fixed in that one particular relationship? Do we have options in this? That means the faith is not that strong. Right? It's being taken as that, you know, no, I'm spiritual and my options and all that, you know. But no, it means your faith isn't that strong, because it's more about I being able to choose is what will make me happy, rather than it's Krishna who will make me happy in service to Krishna. Does that make sense? But at least it's thinking about Krishna, so that's nice. But at the same time, it's not as advanced a concept as the particular individual would like to place themselves. Does that make sense? So you see, it's from the Acharya's position, coming from the platform of prema, right? That technically prema and beyond. So then these other processes, you see it being a descending process. Then they see it is all how it connects up to this. What we're seeing is I'm here and then I did this, so now I'm really advanced, I'm the big guy and that. And but they're looking at it the other way, is you're in the process, you're never the big guy. So if you're following the process and becoming the big guy, it's going in the wrong direction. Right? Because you follow it and become servant and servant. Does that make sense? So that's why then false ego and that being humble, being tolerant. Because then, you know, we have a sense of justice and we think that, you know, I'm doing devotional service, this person's doing something wrong, and so therefore there needs to be retribution. But that sense of justice means then it's about the secondary, it's not about Krishna. Because for Krishna, what is proper justice? Right? The living entity is engaged in Krishna's service. That's justice. Then being away from Krishna's service is not. So being absorbed in the primary, that's justice. Being absorbed in the secondary, that's injustice. And so for one injustice being absorbed in the secondary, we come up with another secondary to balance that. But the point is, it's only in context of Krishna does that balance. Somebody says. That's the... Because he's the only one that can reconcile. We try to do it, never works. Right? I mean, I don't know what it is today. I heard this figures maybe 20 or more years ago. That in a study done on those in prison, you know, for, you know, we would think more obvious criminal, you know, activity. That something like 97 or 98% of the people that were in there felt that it was wrong that they were there. There was some consideration that has to be considered, that that's why they did it and need to be done, so it wasn't wrong. So 98% didn't feel... So, in other words, the retribution wasn't working. They weren't changing their mentality and seeing what's wrong. Because you're going from the society saying this is wrong, you know, which is not necessarily based on a God-conscious idea. And then their non-God consciousness and all this, and so it doesn't match. So the only way you can actually correct the situation is if you change the consciousness. So whatever will change consciousness, that is the purification. But to think that a secondary activity will purify you of a secondary activity, and that will make you think of the primary, that's, again, foolishness. Mm-hmm. Only primary can make you think of primary. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like money comes from money. Right? It doesn't come from something else. Does that make sense? Yogurt comes from yogurt. It's just that's the way it works. So primary consciousness, you know, absorption in Krishna only comes from primary consciousness, thinking of Krishna. It won't come from secondary. Right? Does that make sense? Yes?
I'm thinking yogurt comes from yogurt, but milk comes from cow.
Yes. So that's the point. Ultimately, everything goes back to Krishna. The cow.
That's simple.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're working with the secondary. You know, we're not working with the cow. So that's the point. When you have the cow, then you have all those. That when you have when you have yogurt, then you think of yogurt. When you have the cow, then you think of all the dairy products.
Maharaj, we have resistance to accept the primary.
Yes, we have resistance.
Because we are not used to... actually, it's... can we say that to have some disaster in our life can help us to change?
It can, because we do focus on the secondary. Therefore, when the secondary goes nice, we're comfortable.
Yes.
When the secondary doesn't go nice, we're uncomfortable. And when it's uncomfortable, then we may start to think.
Yes.
And if we think, we will wonder why. So in the beginning, of course, we'll come up with our plans and all that. But when we see that our plans don't work again and again, then we're open to alternatives.
Yes.
And that's the point. That's the window of opportunity for devotional service. That's what Narad Muni is explaining in the seventh canto. Is that, you know, Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra is all in connection with the Varnashram system. And so because of that, then, you know, they can progress. But still, it's only when they come in contact with the pure Vaishnavas that we will naturally go into devotional service. But because of the nature of Varnashram, it's more opportunity to come in contact with Vaishnavas.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Just because of the nature of the culture.
Yes.
But he mentions those outside the culture, Mlechas and Yavanas, then basically when things go, you know, how you say, things go south for them really badly, that moment, that's your window of opportunity that they might be interested. Now, if they come in contact with Vaishnavas, then they may take it up. You know, so therefore, that's why we're out on the street. We're out on Harinams. We're out on the, you know, different things. They see us. They see the festivals, the Ratha Yatra, and all these different things. Because then there's an opportunity that if that window is there, they may just come by just out of interest, say. Right? Because if you see the devotees that are in Harinam, they're happy. You see the festivals, they're happy. So it's kind of like, what are they doing that makes them happy? Because, you know, one, they're dressed funny. They, you know, they've shaved their heads. That, you know, it's all these different things. So, you know, what's making them happy? Because all the things that I have that I say will make me happy is not making me happy. And they don't have any of those. So what's going on that they're happy? So they naturally may inquire. So that's the point. So if everyone's just fitting in, then that means there's no opportunity. So why would they do? They could be a work of the devotee for years and never know. And so therefore, you know, so they don't get the opportunity. So yeah. So.
Maharaj, you mentioned about sampati dosha, which is a prem. So about the other three
dashas,
Shravana, Varana, and Smarana, when do they begin?
When do they begin? I mean, what do you mean by begin?
From Shraddha to Bhava
level,
and that would
initially just... Yeah, the means, because it said that Bhava extends down to Shraddha. It's just a drop of Bhava is what makes Shraddha.
So Shravana and Shravana dasha are one and the same?
Sorry?
Shravanam and Shravana Dasha, are they one and the same? Because in Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc.
It's just like Hasa and Hasya. Are they the same?
Yes.
But then why is it two different words?
There's a slight difference.
Yeah, so then there's a slight difference. They're the same thing, but a slight difference.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As a matter of fact, the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his different activities are all confidential, even to the Vedic literatures. Yet they are displayed by the Lord to bestow mercy upon the conditioned souls. We should always take advantage of the narrations of the activities of the Lord, which are meditations on Brahman in the most convenient and palatable form. Right? Because Brahman means transcendental. So that's the whole point. We're trying to get beyond the material and be situated on the transcendental platform. So the most convenient and palatable is the pastimes of the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Because this is the original position. Then he is also all-pervading, all-knowing. He's controlling everything. These things are going on. But just that he's all-pervading and all that, that's not really enough, because you have to be completely detached from everything, situate yourself in goodness to really appreciate that. So it's not the most convenient or palatable. It's dry. Right? Then you have Paramatma. Then that will inspire some reverence and all that. But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the most palatable, because we generally see is when people are dealing with this position, generally, or they're looking at, you know, God in his power and this and that, and if you do something wrong, then it's not going to really work out for you. You know? Does that make sense? Okay. So, it's not as convenient and it's not as palatable. But here, you just have to remember the Lord and his pastimes. And so, therefore, it works out perfectly.
Yeah.
Yes?
When we say the Lord is Atmarama, which call would that suit the most?
Oh, well, Atmarama just means we're looking at Atmarama means he's self-satisfied. It means everything's coming from him. He'll be satisfied in himself. Right?
Any position can fit in for that. His position.
For him, it means all the three features. He's Atmarama in all three features. But we will look at it in Bhagavan platform because of rasa. Tasting rasa, we'll say he's not Atmarama, in that he wants more and more to be engaged in the relationship, you know, in pastimes with his devotees. But if we look at the technical meaning, Atmarama meaning self-satisfied meaning in the self, not in material nature, then he's never involved in material nature, so he's still Atmarama. And also, all the living entities are coming from him. All his potencies are from him, so he's still just absorbed in himself. Right? But that only brings out that tattva element. It doesn't bring out the rasa element. And so to appreciate why he's doing that and the taste he's gaining from that, then we look at he's not Atmarama. Because more and more he can appreciate the service of the Vaishnavas. Like that. Does that make sense? So that way he's Atmarama, meaning from the material viewpoint, but on the transcendental platform he's not Atmarama, means he's always wanting to be absorbed more and more. Does that make sense? Yes.
Since we are talking about faith, Maharaj.
Faith. Okay.
11th canto of Bhagavatam is talking about faith. Krishna is talking. It's always associated with hearing about his katha. No.
Yes.
Yavat karmani kurvita.
Yes.
Nanirvedete yavat. Mat katha savadavva. And so on. There are many multiple verses like this.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the faith has a very strong relation with katha or shavat? That is so. The dasha also, which you mentioned.
What do you mean by faith and hearing? Means the process of hearing, or hear? I mean, how are you defining this?
That's what I want to understand.
What's the question? What's the doubt?
The question is that faith is very much always associated in 11th canto with the katha of the Lord. When the Lord is.
But the point, it's about the Lord. So you're discussing about the Lord, so the faith in the Lord. And that means his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Right? And so that's what we have. And so how are we going to deal with that? We're going to deal with that through the secondary aspect of, you know, talking and hearing. You understand? But Shravana Kirtan as devotional service is not secondary, because it's about the Lord. Because the point is there's no such thing as being engaged in an activity without senses. You know what I'm saying? So because the personal aspect is that means senses, that means body, that means activity, that means qualities. So when we hear about the Lord, then that's devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? Just like if you hear about the mundane, then it has that effect. But we hear about Krishna, then we're free from that effect. So you're using the secondary in connection with the primary, so that at that point you don't have to make a distinction. We can tell the difference, but you don't have to make the distinction. You know, it's just like Rupa Goswami is describing about in rasa, is that you have the primary, you know, the primary rasa, you have the secondary rasas, and you have the vyabhichari bhavas, right? And so, in that aspect of those 41 elements there, then that combination, it gives a particular taste. And so, you can appreciate that taste itself. At the same time, you can analyze the elements of the taste. Right? You know, like the yogurt with black pepper and rock candy, it gives one homogeneous taste, but at the same time you can tell it's made of three elements. So that's the thing. It's one, but you can still tell the difference. So that's the principle. And the last question is, we'll tend to, it means by making it just one, it makes it easier. But then the problem comes is an application, then it'll be harder. Because if you can't distinguish, how do you apply it? But at the same time, as it's in the one aspect. So the two have to be accepted. As that means, is it different or is it the same? And it has to be one or the other. That's not our philosophy. It makes it easy. But is it about being easy? Because if it was easy, you know, why do we have the modern, you know, modern politics or modern economics or even family life? If we want it easy, we just go and sit under a rock somewhere and be happy, right? But it's just for our own convenience, because if we make it easy, then I'm in control. So I understand it. It's like this. Okay, so now like this, and then we try to apply it, but now it's lost its personal aspect, because it's the personal that has the contradictory elements. Right? The impersonal is what doesn't have the contradictory elements. You know what I'm saying? So we'll have a tendency to work on that platform and try to make it impersonal so that I can deal with it according to my personality. You know, and everybody else is impersonal. You know, it's just they fit into the box because now I figured out the formula. You understand? So we engage these things, but we have to be very, very careful is to appreciate that it has these two sides. And Prabhupada is explaining, like in Varnashram. He'll explain that human life begins with Varnashram. So that means if you're not following Varnashram, you're functioning on the animal platform. Maybe sophisticated animal, you know, socially, you know, involved animal, but still an animal. So at Varnashram, that's where human life starts. But having established that, and that's then the devotee engages us all in the Lord's service. So then it's a matter of it's that you're human. Human means it has to be engaged in the Lord's service. That's the perfection of human being. Not that it's just you're following the rules of Varnashram, and that's enough. Being human's not enough. Being Krishna conscious, that's the purpose of humans. Right? Then he'll point out how if you don't see it in connection with the Lord, then that's a problem. That's a defect. So we don't want to follow Varnashram without its connection to Krishna. So it's not that on its own. So he presents all these aspects, right? And for most people, then what do they take from this? All three? No, it's either we have to follow Varnashram, otherwise you're not a devotee and all this is all nonsense. You guys aren't following Varnashram, that's not devotional service. Or, see, it's not about, you know, Varnashram, it's just about devotional service, so we don't need Varnashram. You know, or I have to take everything I'm doing and according to Varnashram, engage in the Lord's service. Who says that? Right? So the first one and the third one, that you'll get everybody say. Who says the middle one?
The scriptures?
Yeah, the scriptures. You know, Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna, you know, like that. They all say that. But other than that, then, you know, and then to see that because that balances all of them. So that's the point, the balance that we don't catch. So we have to be very, very careful, because the thing is, it's either this or that. That's duality, and in Krishna, he's non-dual. So that means Krishna consciousness must mean the proper combination of both. But we won't know how to combine. Just like, let's say, I'm taking salt and the vegetable. Okay, what's the proportion? Because mathematically it could be anything. 100 parts, salt and, one floweret of cauliflower. You could start there. You could keep going more. I can have millions of tons of salt. And, get down even smaller. What I'm saying? So the point is where that balance is. That you have to get from somebody. Unless you've eaten something that's proper, the salt is balanced, you won't know what it is. You won't know what the taste is. Does that make sense? So we have to get from the authorities what is balance. So without hearing from them, we won't have any idea what to do with it. The idea is there, it's good, but the modern context is varnashram without having proper knowledge, without having proper association. Because if you talk to, somebody in the material world who, actually deals with the material world, they're not just sitting around and it's about themselves. They actually manage it and stuff like that. You talk about that, you have the social thing, you have the intellectual kind of consciousness, you have the administrative consciousness, you have the economic consciousness, you have the artistic or just the general populist consciousness. They will have zero problem with that. I mean literally zero. But is it scientific? What the intellectuals do and what they don't do, what the kshatriyas do and don't do, what the vaishyas, what the shudras, that they don't have balanced. So it's a mess. So we have to hear from authority. Then only it has meaning. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, like this, that those are the main ones, because we can see from that's how you know about the Lord. Because we're not seeing the pastimes. So we have to hear about them, and then discussing that with others. That's then how we see. So it's Shastra Chakshus. We see through the eyes of scriptures. Right? And from that it will lead to all the other processes. Right? Because if you hear and chant, then with time you'll remember. Right? And then the other processes naturally come. Does that make sense? So we'll surrender to the Lord, become friendship with the Lord, completely be absorbed in the Lord. Does that make sense? Yes.
Bhagavan Sri Krishna is an object of our worship.
Yes.
However, we see in day-to-day life, our interaction is most of the time with Brahman or Paramatma,
yes,
aspect of Bhagavan. So
yes,
how can we reconcile this? Although we worship Krishna, but we interact with his lower features.
Yes. The point is if he's everything, that means we're always interacting with these. So that's not actually the problem. It becomes a problem because of the inductive or deductive. You understand?
Yes.
Because if it's inductive, I'm looking at myself and I'm dealing with the Brahman aspect of the Paramatma aspect, feature of the Lord. So therefore I'm engaging all the indirect activities. Right? So in other words, those five items of devotional service, here, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham, those are direct. So you can say that those are directly Krishna. Right? That's Bhagavan, whether we know it or not.
Yeah.
Right? The holy name is not Paramatma or Brahman, it's Bhagavan. Whether we appreciate or not, that's another thing, but that's who he is. Then, dealing with everything else, the family, the house, our body, all these different social things like that, the economics. That's then all secondary. So then we're dealing with the universal form. Right? And so then you have both the features of Brahman and Paramatma. Right? You said before about the two features of Brahman. Rejecting the two versions of the universal form. Right? The universal form has the Kirodakshaya Vishnu and the Kirodakshaya and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Right? One is how he's, as Paramatma, is controlling it all, and how each individual has their particular portion of universal form. And the other is how the universal form is there as the principle and pervading everything.
It's both Brahman and Paramatma.
Yes. That's why you can describe it from either feature. That's why it becomes harder to understand, because it's both features. It's just which one you're bringing out. And so that will be most of our lives, you know, most of what we're doing and all that.
Yes.
You could say the external feature of what we're doing, it's going to be falling into that category. But the point is the connection that we see it in the context of Krishna, the person, how to please Krishna through engagement of the body, mind, and words. So the varnashram, the family, the economics, you know, all these different things. We see it how it's pleasing the person. It's indirect, but how it pleases the person. So it is, it then in that way it becomes deductive. It's about Krishna and how it applies here. And I'm, as being a servant, how I connect with this. Right? Because if I start with myself, I like doing this, then you see how that fits into Krishna consciousness. Right? You know, so in the beginning, then it works like that. Like I remember sitting there, you know, all the devotees, you know, met the devotees and all that, and, you know, like the devotees, and they all have shaved heads, right? And then they gave me a BTG magazine. I think it was number 55. And on the back cover, it had the Panchatattva dancing in Puri. And Gadadhar Pandit had long hair. I think, well, some of the devotees have long hair. You know, you just have to ask about it like that. Somehow or another, it didn't go down so well. Right? So we're starting with ourselves. And then we're trying to add Krishna consciousness. But no, it's that Krishna's here, all the active, the situation's there, all the things of what can be done. Where do I fit in? Right? Because I'm servant. Like we were discussing yesterday, we're the instrumental. The activity's going on. Right? Krishna's having a bath, the Radharani's having a bath. That's the situation. And that. And then, you know, there will be Lalita, Vishaka, and everybody else. So in that, where do I fit in? Not that, well, I want to pour the water and then walk up to the front, you know. Like our Abhishekhs. You know, it used to be one person there, you know, pouring nicely and that. Now it's 10 people trying to get in there and pour and touch and this and that. It's kind of like, you know. Because it's starting from themselves. It's not starting from Krishna.
It happens.
Huh?
It happens.
It happens. It happens a lot. And if you don't control it, it'll happen even more. I mean, in other words, this would be the perfection of the Abhishek for those who are coming up for the Abhishek. They'll be standing around the deity 360 degrees. All of them will be pouring with one hand and with the other hand rubbing and doing something. What they're doing, I have no idea. And the audience would be able to see nothing because it's, you know, they want the mercy, then come up here. You know?
Yes.
Mom?
They can see from the drone.
From?
Drones.
Oh, yes, yes. The drones can see. Yes.
Because at the first glance, we look at Yukta Vairagya.
Yes.
It seems purely inductive.
Yes.
Because it always starts from somebody, not from Krishna necessarily.
Yes. But the point is Yukta Vairagya, if we look at it, starts from Krishna. It means the point is to connect to Krishna. Right? So I'm taking my situation, connecting it to Krishna. But I can also take it that this is Krishna's situation. Krishna is the Lord. He's arranged these things. He's defined what activity is done in what situation. And so to please him, I want to do those recommended activities. And so this being available, now I can take part in this way. So that's what we're saying. It's rather than this thing is, oh, we're not this body, so I can do anything. It's kind of like, but then if you're not the body, why do you need a body? You know, we're saying we're not the body and then very happily engaging the body according to its actual nature. Right? But using that nature in a way that's not the nature. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. Let us say we have a business. Okay? And you have people, you have the place, and you have, you know, all the thing. It's set up, it's nicely, it's running. All that. So, would we see that there is the aspect of, okay, we have a business run in this way, because it runs in this way, therefore I have the office here, I have this, I have these different people, and because of all that, that's what's giving me my profit. Because I want the profit. And so, therefore, I'm doing all the mechanics that work like that, so that's why the office is set up like this. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's another alternative vision to this is the business is mine. Everything connected with it is mine. And so, because it's mine, then I want it to do the best for me. And doing the best for me means that, you know, in this context, economics, I make profit. Therefore, to make profit, now I put into place all those rules. You understand? So, which of those is masculine, which is feminine?
First is masculine.
Yes. So, now, that's the whole point, is you can say we're not the body, but there's a vast difference in how you approach business if it's a masculine nature or a feminine. You know, and within that, they have to work. So the feminine can work. If it's hers, then she has to deal in a more personal way and all that. The man can work more mechanically because it's just mechanics. The feminine, then it has to work more personally. Like the man adds some personal, he can add enough that it works, makes it work. But if he adds too much where they relax, then it's too much. Right? And the feminine, if they don't put in that personal aspect, then because it's a personal thing, then everybody will work because of that. If you don't put in enough, then, you know, not nice. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that we can say whatever we want about we're the body, not the body. You know, or it doesn't matter, as you know, the Brahminical thing is anybody can do it. We're not the body, Prabhu. It's like, okay, who can do six artics, six offerings a day, every day, day in, day out, forever? Only a Brahmin. Right? But any Vaishnav would like to do an offering, an artik for Krishna. Like it's on a festival day, how many people want to come and do the artik? But, you know, the 4 o'clock in the afternoon artik or the 8:30 at night artik, who wants to do it? Only full-time pujaris do that one. So that's the whole thing, is we can say, use these things, I'm not the body. But in actuality, you act completely 100% according to what your body does and how you think. Your socio-physical nature, your psychological physical nature, that's exactly how you're going to work. Unless you're liberated. And liberated means you're on the Uttama platform. And if you were on the Uttama platform, you wouldn't say, I'm not this body so I can do anything. Only a conditioned soul says that, literally. You know, so therefore, the point is that, well, that's inductive. That's taking the inductive to extreme. That is, since it's about me, then a devotional service is an excuse that before I was controlled by the modern society, but Krishna consciousness gives me a plan, I don't have to follow any of that. Right? You have the conservative, you have to follow. Liberal means I don't have to follow. So it's just the same, because you'll probably find those that say I'm not this body and try to use it to do anything, their conditioned background before they joined was liberal. Right, and those who no, we have the rules. You have to do this, this, and that. Then they'll have done from a more conservative. So it's not that we've transcended just because we say so. I mean, if it was that easy, it'd be great. You know, I want to be a billionaire. So you know, if we were, all of us here are billionaires. It's like, you know, in the next couple of years, we could build the whole of Mayapur. You know, and have money left over. Right, you know. You know, so it's just, you know. But we're not, just because we said, so that's a problem.
I was trying to think, where are you going with that?
So, everyone get to work. We got a city to build here. does that make sense? So, just because we say, so that's the point, is saying, that's the knowledge. That may be what you are, what we'd like to be. But until you apply it, right? Because we started with this, with the Abhideya, it doesn't happen. Right? So in the same way is that you're going to apply, whether it's inductive or deductive, you still have to apply devotional processes as given by the Acharyas. It's just a matter of whether you see the Acharyas first and then what you're applying it to, or you're seeing yourself first and then adding to it what you can apply. So it's just a matter of, as we were saying, where it switches. So the point is nishtha can be that point it switches. You can have that understanding before that, but it starts to become more of a realization at that point. But you can say is that ruchi, then you really aren't really too worried about the material. You know, because the taste is so much more in Krishna consciousness. It's just what's the material world offering, right? Because people do things because of taste. And once you're attached, then you're not worried about that anymore. Is that makes sense? Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. It seems that this aspect of Shastra Chakshu is quite essential.
Yes.
Approach to Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Because if we don't see through the eyes of Shastra, then what will we see through? Means our condition. That's our options. Is that we'll see it according to our conditioning. That's our natural condition perspective.
Yes.
But seeing through the eyes of Shastra, that's the natural constitutional perspective.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of, do I want to work in conditional or constitutional? Because
yes.
In constitutional means I'm servant of Krishna, and according to my particular relationship with Krishna, I function within that. I don't function outside of that. It's not like Mother Jashoda decides, well, you guys go out with Krishna every day to the fields and all that and have so much fun, and you know, we hear about it when you come back. I want to come out today and experience that, so I'm coming with you, coward boys. It never happens. There's not a day in eternity that happens. Right? The only time we ever heard Mother Jashoda going out is when the Kaliya serpent passed on. Right? So the point is that it doesn't happen because it's rasa pas, right? So they stay within the context of their rasa. They follow that path. It has a specific path. Otherwise, if it's not specific, why is it a different rasa? Right? At the same time, as we're here and we are a conditioned nature, so therefore we just work within the context of that. What is our conditioning? We use that in Krishna service. It doesn't matter because it's not us, but engaging in Krishna service is us. You know, in other words, we're using a inferior facilities in Krishna service because the primaries not are better qualities not available. But the main thing is connecting to Krishna. That's what makes it important. So that's what it's trying to do. So therefore, for Krishna, He is beyond the material creation. He's the origin. So he has nothing to gain materially. Therefore, his pastimes are transcendental. And therefore, if you hear about his pastimes in the association of devotees, you will become transcendental.
That's why Sri Prabhupada mentions that there is no place for our own opinion.
Yes.
So that's why Ramananda Rai never says, I think. He says the authority is Shastra.
Yes.
Says, and Arjuna says that is what I heard from authorities.
Yes.
So no our own opinion.
Yes. That's human. Animal, that's opinion. I like this, I eat it. That's my opinion.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.